Hi, I'm Stan Kroenke. I'm the new owner of ArsBlog.com. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Everything's going to change around here. But you'd be wrong. I'm here with the best of intentions. I love ArsBlog. ArsBlog is what keeps me going in the morning. I fully respect the history and traditions of ArsBlog. It is, of course, one of the greatest blog franchises in the world. I want to assure all you ArsBlog fans that everything, and I mean everything, is going to remain the same around here. There might be one or two small changes, but you'll get used to them, I'm sure. The first small change we made at board level was to decide that the ArsBlogger had to be replaced as the presenter. His crude language affected the commercial viability of this podcast, and now, without him, we can attract top-class wholesome family sponsors like Disney, Burger King, or Halliburton. From now on, ArsBlog will no longer be f***ing excellent, it'll be very good indeed. And Didier Drogba can no longer be a hideous f***ing c***. He's got to be a beautifully challenged African-American African. You might notice some other small changes as well. The man in the bar is going to be replaced by the man from the Werther's original advert. You know the guy, big smile, mustache, gives his grandson a piece of candy. That's the kind of wholesome family old man we want, not some guy who spends all day drinking in a bar. As well as that, Arsene Wenger Hawkins will be replaced by a handicapped person who doesn't have continued fantasies of rape, murder, terrible 80s music, and eating feces. Finally, we're going to change the name. The ArsCast will no longer be the ArsCast because the word Ars is offensive. From now on, the ArsCast is going to be called the FannyCast. So, it's just down to me to welcome you once again to the FannyCast on ArsBlog.com. Fanny blog. Somebody get that orange fucker on the phone for me right now. Welcome to another ArsBlog ArsCast on ArsBlog.com in association with OleOle.com. You didn't think I'd sell out, did you? I never would. Not to an American, to a Russian, to somebody from Papua New Guinea. Not at all. Anyway, I don't have somebody to go behind my back and try and sell it to an American. Oh, wait a minute. Something has occurred to me. Tom is actually in America at the moment. He's gone to Las Vegas. He says it's for work. Should I be suspicious? Would Tom try and sell me out? Never. We have a united board. Coming up on this week's ArsCast, we have got for you all your usual favorites. Arsene Wenger Hawkins will be here. The man in the bar will be here. There's a blog chat with the man from East Lower and Gunner Blogger and Good Player. How is this possible, you say? What crazy madness is this? I will explain to you all in due course. So let's catch up on what's happened since the last time we spoke. Leaving aside everything else bar football, we played Spurs last weekend. And after going a goal down, of course, we came back to go 2-1 ahead. And very good it was too, until the last minute goal by Jermaine Genus, whose name rhymes with penis. And I'm not too childish to make that joke. Again and again and again. So Jermaine Penis, he scored the equalizing goal 7 seconds after the 4 minutes of injury time were up. It's very, very annoying, particularly because the defeat or the draw for us felt like a defeat and for Spurs felt like a victory. And let's face it, nobody likes a Spurs fan at the best of times, and nobody likes a happy Spurs fan because that means, you know, they're happy. And they're not suffering enough. So it was quite annoying, but still, away from home, 2-2, a draw, We did well. We outplayed them in the second half. I think once Diaby gets himself properly fit and gets a good run in the team, he is going to be a big, big player for us. And you can see how important Cesc was as well. When he came on, things changed around and we were able to put the game to them a little bit more. I do sincerely hope that this season of conceding the first goal in nearly every game we've played in, I do hope that this is just sort of a one-off thing, you know. Sort of like James Beattie having a good season. It just happens once. And, you know, from then on, things go back to normal. James Beattie is crap, and we become much more solid at the back. That's what I'm hoping. Arsene Wenger has said today, today being today and not tomorrow when you're going to listen to this, so today is yesterday when you're listening to it. But Arsene Wenger has spoken about playing at Ashburton Grove and saying that really for the first 10, 12 games, it was like playing away from home. It takes time to get used to the new stadium. So we'll see whether or not that has an impact next season. Let's hope not. The other sort of main news this week was Jens Lehmann deciding that he's going to stay with Arsenal, even though we're interested in other goalkeepers. And I'll repeat what I said on the blog, the story about Johan Pelle. I mean, having a player called Pelé would be fantastic. We just need to buy Bob Maradona, Stephen Cruyff, and Harry Beckenbauer, and it's all complete. But anyway, we're very interested in him, and the rumours about Craig Gordon go on as well. So maybe the boss is thinking about bringing somebody in who can learn from Jens and benefit from his experience as Jens plays his final season, so he can, you know, throw a wobbly whenever there's a corner, or learn how to make it look like somebody stood on your foot every time the ball comes across. Other news this week was a pre-season tournament. Tickets went up on a ticket site and then were taken down again, but I'm not sure if it's been confirmed yet or not. But there is going to be a pre-season tournament at Ashburton Grove between Arsenal, Inter Milan, Paris Saint-Germain and Hamburg. So that sees Patrick Vieira return to the Arsenal again. So that could be an interesting preseason tournament. What that means in terms of the other preseason plans, I don't know. There was a rumor that there was going to be an American tour. I suspect that probably won't happen now, but there is still rumor of a postseason tour to Asia somewhere. But again, that remains to be seen. So, before we go on our historic blog chat with three other Arsenal bloggers, Arsene Wenger Hawkins is here.
Hello, everyone. This week I went to the gym to work on my pecs and lats. I have a body of steel, and I don't just mean my wheelchair. As I was towelling myself down after a hot steamy shower, I saw a young boy in a Chelsea shirt. "What do you think of Jose Mourinho?" I asked him. "He's all right," said the young boy. "What do you think of John Terry?" I asked as I applied some talc to my balls. "He's all right," he said. "What do you think of Frank Lampard?" "He's all right, but a bit fat." "What do you think of the type of football Chelsea play?" "It's all right." "What do you think of Roman Abramovich?" "He's all right." "And what do you think of this?" I asked as I let my towel slip gently to the floor, my enormous penis flapping in the breeze. "Looks like Ashley Cole," he said. "Oh, the youth of today. How they make you laugh." I laughed like this. "Ha ha 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 ha, hey hee wee hee wee hee." Naturally, I touched myself afterwards. Oh yes.
Arsene Wenger Hawkins will be back on next week's Arscast. Now then, don't forget the Arscast is sponsored by OleOle.com, which is a football community, a brand new place where you can set up a blog, you can make friends, and do all that kind of social networking thing that's so groovy these days. All you need to do is go to www.oleole.com, sign up for an account, and you can start blogging and submitting stories and all that good stuff that goes with it. So move along, please. Now then, blog chat time. Something new, something a little bit different, and we're always trying to push the boundaries here. So instead of getting one Arsenal blogger to talk about Arsenal, I decided to get three of them. I wasn't quite sure how everything was going to go or work technically, or whether or not they'd be able to hear me, or whether there'd be huge, huge delays, but it didn't seem to be like that. So the next time we do it, it can be a little more free and a little less structured than it is this time. But I spoke to Gilberto Silver from gunnerblog.com, Good Player from goodplayer.com, and the man from Eastlore, which is eastlore.co.uk. We discussed David Dean and Kroenke. We also discussed Jens Lehmann and his decision to stay, and William Gallas and the rumours linking him with Real Madrid. So here's this week's blog chat. Okay, now on the Arscast, a revolution in blog chatting. We have around the cyber table threesome, well, foursome. It's all a bit kinky. With the man from Eastlore. Good morning.
Morning.
Gunner Blogger, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks.
And Good Player, how's things with you?
Not too bad.
Good. Now, we'll start with the big news, which is, of course, the fact that David Dean was fired and Stan Kroenke is buying up Arsenal shares willy-nilly. There has been what appears to be a sort of a PR battle across the Arsenal internet. The man from Eastlore, I'll address this to you because your internet's been gone and we haven't really heard what you think about it. What do you make of what's happened in the last few days?
What I think is there are a lot of people who seem to think that the PR battle's being won by Kroenke without, and he hasn't really done anything. And I think what the Arsenal board needs to come out and maybe say is, you know, what's the reality of this? That would be really helpful just to say a bit, because, I mean, if this Kroenke bloke comes with $600 million in cash and you pay for it up front, then you'd have to say, well, that sounds like a good deal. But, you know, I think my suspicion is that he'd borrow to buy the club if indeed he's going to make a bid. And if he borrows to buy the club, you know, who's going to pay the debt back? So these are the kind of things that are worrying me at the moment.
Okay, the conventional wisdom is, Good Player, that he is going to borrow to buy the club. How do you see it?
I think I'm not massively in favour, but I think we need to deal with the reality, though, which is he wants to buy the club, and the reality is that Danny Strickland's got a large number of shares, and, you know, from what a lot of us have been told, etc., it does seem that Strickland would be prepared to sell. The only caveat to that being that he doesn't particularly want to sell to Conte, because he knows that that would put Dean in charge of the club eventually. Fortunately, it looks like it may well happen, but I think it's very true that, you know, there could be a fair amount of debt, and you must take Roman Abramovich out of this because he's a completely separate case and it's got nothing to do with it whatsoever. You need to look at United. The reason for their success is nothing to do with the Glazers. It's frankly because Fergie's managed them really well. So a kind of inevitability, not a particularly welcome one, I'm afraid.
Okay, Gunnar Blogger, you described yourself as Switzerland during the week. Are you still Swiss?
I'm as Swiss as a useful knife. I think that basically that we need to hear from Kroenke or Kroenke or whatever it is at some stage. I think it's very hard to know where I stand, at least, until there's some sort of confirmation. However, if you ask me to predict, it does look like this is the sort of deal that would land the club with a lot of debt.
Okay. Would you consider the fact that the club has put a huge amount of money into creating this new stadium in order to increase revenue, and that a lot of fans are looking at the short-term benefits, which are a few players that we might not possibly have been able to afford, but the long-term benefits is that the income that the club would generate would be taken away? That's for you, Gunnar Blogger, again.
Well, I think it's, you know, for the fans, it's the Abramovich effect, you know. We had this plan in place with the stadium for sort of long-term security, long-term financial prosperity, and the subsequently increased transfer budgets. Abramovich coming in was, you know, outside of that and blew that away, really. It was to make us compete with Manchester United, and then suddenly there's this third party who's got greater financial power than either. And the fans, I think, are frustrated by that in the short term. But I agree, this plan is there in the long term for stability, and I think it would be crazy to throw that away, essentially, after just a year of the new stadium.
Okay, man from Eastlore, Manchester United is used as an example of the way this sort of buyout could happen. What we've seen now is the Manchester United season tickets going up, you know, anywhere between 14 and 24% for next season. That's also a danger that fans haven't really come to terms with.
I think it probably is, although there is a big difference between Man U and Arsenal, in as much as traditionally Man U season tickets have been a lot lower. I mean, you know, our cheapest one at Ashburton is more than their most expensive one. I think I read that somewhere, it might be wrong, but it's not far from the truth. So I think there's probably room for growth in there. I mean, in terms of a business plan in their season tickets. I think with ours, I've thought for some time, if it goes up much more, I mean, you know, it really is going to start getting unaffordable for a lot of people. And that, you know, so that's why the board, being rather wisely, has said they're not putting up for the third year running. So I'm not sure whether there's much room for growing ticket prices at Ashburton anymore. I just don't know about that.
Okay, good player. One thing that we have to get in place now is somebody to do what Arsene called the ugly work, which was negotiating players' contracts, doing negotiations for transfers, etc., etc. Any thoughts on who he might bring in?
I'd be lying if I said I had too many thoughts on who he might bring in. What does strike me, though, is that he's made it very clear from the outset that this will be his appointment, which will be good in one sense, I suppose, because it shouldn't be someone that will conflict with him in the way that you've had perhaps with Kenyon and Mourinho so often. But at the same time, there's a kind of school of thought that says it perhaps wouldn't be such a bad thing if Arsene occasionally had someone else who could say things to him at the club, because at the moment it does seem that he kind of enjoys a monopoly. You know, he's almost done for the club, which is no bad thing in a way, but it can be helpful as well if there's someone else who can occasionally disagree with you and put you in your place, if you like. And I don't see how that's going to be possible if he appoints someone from French football or from wherever. He's essentially going to be a yes man to Arsene. So mixed feelings about that.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to some transfer news this morning. Gunnar blogger Jens Lehmann looks like he's going to stay.
Yeah, it does look like he's going to stay. You know, after looking for a long time like he wouldn't, the word was that he was going back to Germany, Bundesliga. But I think, you know, it's not a bad thing in any way, because if our transfer budget is indeed as tight as it looks like it might be, Jens Lehmann is not a bad goalkeeper by any means, and I'm perfectly happy to stick with him for another year if it means we can strengthen in other areas.
Okay, man from East Lower, what do you think of Jens staying?
I think it's a good idea as well, because I think, you know, he's still a good keeper. He's probably got a good year left in him, but what it might give us the opportunity to do is get someone in who's been one of those goalkeepers touted as being a potential one for the future. You know, I mean, I don't know whether Scott Carson is one that would work or the Craig Gordon keeper. I don't know, but maybe someone who's not quite perhaps ready for this next year, but would be ready the year after, given a few games. So, I mean, I think it's not a bad thing all round.
Okay, good player. William Gallas. The Guardian, or there was a story in the Mirror the other day about Gallas wanting to leave and to go to Madrid, and he hasn't settled at Arsenal and the team is too young around him. And this morning in the Guardian, they're talking about a bust-up that he's had with a young player at the club, which has left him isolated. What do you make of the Gallas situation? Certainly we haven't seen the best of him this year, have we?
No, I think it's been very, very disappointing in a way. And I was just looking over this morning over the comments that I've made on Gallas on Good Player. I haven't been particularly pleased with him right from the off. I don't think his attitude has been right. He's kind of coasted somewhat. And I think the worrying thing is that these stories that have come out, I may be completely wrong, but you'd imagine that they come from the Gallas camp. And it seems, you know, if he comes out and quashes them straight away, fair enough. But it seems perhaps he's engineering for a move. At the end of the day, it's a defeat for us, basically, because it makes us look a bit stupid. You know, we had to get rid of Ashley Cole. It doesn't make Ashley Cole look any better. It kind of, Chelsea might be crowing slightly over it, but at the same time, had they had Gallas, and let's remember, they wanted to keep him, despite what differences they had with him. Had they had him, then they'd probably be at least 3 points ahead rather than 3 points behind at the moment, and probably quite a lot more, because their defence collapsed when they lost one player, basically, in Terry. So it's very disappointing. If it's true, if Gallas, you know, we need players who are committed to the cause. And if I haven't liked Gallas's attitude all season, I think he's coasted. And if, you know, if he needs to go, so be it, basically.
Okay, Gunnar Blogger, you're a fan of Gallas, but certainly he's a guy who's not afraid to say what he thinks. As well as that, it wouldn't be too beyond the realms of possibility that he would angle for a move in this way. What do you make of this situation?
Well, I mean, you're right. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. We've sort of seen it before when he was at Chelsea, which is why essentially it was a surprise they ended up coming to us, because he was always angling for a move to Spain or Italy. I think Gallas is a top player, world-class centre-back, and I feel that if we are serious about winning things, then he is the kind of player we should be looking to retain. I think we've got enough nice guys. I think, you know, and sometimes it's the wankers who win you things, unfortunately. Look at Man U. But, you know, I would like to see him stay.
Okay. Man from East Lower, what about the thought that that Gallas and Kolo can't play together, that they're too similar, and that both of them need a sort of a big stopper centre half, like the likes of Senderos or Giroud alongside them?
Well, I think Senderos and Giroud both got big futures at Arsenal. But I don't think Gallas has had a great season particularly, but I sort of agree that he's got the kind of experience which we ditched last summer, and which we can't really afford to ditch again. We can't really have another season of bedding in young players. I think we do need a spine of experienced players. So whether I think he'll only improve next year, and he's a bit outspoken, and I don't think he's had a great year, but I think it'll be unwise to get rid of him.
Okay, all right. Well, lads, I better love you and leave you. Well, not love you, not that way. But thank you very much for talking to the Arsecast this morning.
No, it's all
thank you. Pleasure.
Thank you very much to the three guys for taking the time to talk to the Arsecast. And hopefully that sort of round the table thing is something we can develop a little bit in future episodes, rather than me just sort of asking questions, being afraid that somebody might not be able to hear, or somebody's talking over somebody else, etc., etc. It could be good. Oh, we could have some fights as well. That'd be awesome. We could get, for example, Miles Palmer and Arsenal Muse on. And hopefully Arsenal Muse could talk crazy talk, like he does on his blog. And he'll talk crazy talk, and Miles will go off on one about Jeff Beck, and I'll be sitting here just drinking some beer. Eventually, one of their heads will explode. It'll be the coolest thing ever. What else was I going to talk to you about this week? Oh, I got an email from Paul Carolyn, who wanted to sort of talk a little bit about Kroenke, and I don't want to say too much more about it until we hear more from the board, more from Kroenke, if he's got any further intentions, or what those are, and how he's going to go about doing what he's going to do. But just from a sporting point of view, Paul gave me a list of his sports franchises, as he likes to call them, and they are: in the NFL, he's got the St. Louis Rams; in the NBA, the Denver Nuggets; the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche; in the Arena Football League, he's got something called the Colorado Crush; in the MLS, the Colorado Rapids; and the NLL, which is the National Lacrosse League, he has a team called the Colorado Mammoth, and he sort of put down what they've won, and it doesn't look like they've done a great deal. He says, are the teams that he's got, are they like Chelsea? Have they swept all before them? Or have they enjoyed a similar level of success to that which they had before? He says, from the above, it's certainly not the latter, at least where major US sports are concerned. Other than one great season in the NFL, the St. Louis Rams have not given the New England Patriots much to worry about. In the NBA and NHL, his teams have been about on the level of Middlesbrough, the odd semi-final, but otherwise mediocre, and the Rapids' record in the MLS is frankly rubbish. He's very good at lacrosse, though. They've won the league 2 years in a row. Maybe if he takes over, the focus will be on Arsenal's great lacrosse tradition. Because we have a great lacrosse tradition. Everybody knows it. Everybody hates how good we are. We're so good at lacrosse that people just can't stand it. They're so jealous. Okay. All right then, let's go to the bar where the man in the bar is. And he's not as drunk this week.
Ah, hello, there you are again, Arseblogger. Nice to see you again, and apologies for last week if I was a little bit two or three or perhaps even eight sheets to the wind, you see. I had rather a bit too much to drink. Funny thing, I actually woke up bollock naked on the 18th green of Royal Dublin Golf Club. And I haven't got the faintest idea how I got there, but sure, these things happen. Although what happened with the mole might take a little bit of time to get over. Anyway, we'll get on with it this week. We'll talk to you about an Arsenal legend, a fella called David O'Leary. Now, he holds the record for the most ever appearances by any Arsenal player playing for Arsenal in an Arsenal jersey. It's true, he joined Arsenal in 1973. And it wasn't the usual old crack of a scout going over and watching the schoolboy game and going, that fella there, shite, that fella, shite, that fella, shite. Oh, that fella looks like he can play. We'll sign him. You see, what happened was, he was over at a football game, but David O'Leary wasn't playing in. He went to the old local pub after for a couple of pints, and there was a bit of an old row, you see, brewing between two families over something that I don't know. And David O'Leary was working there as a lounge boy, going round with the tray, going, can I get you a drink here? And you see, then what happened was, the father of one family came over to the mother of the other family and said something he shouldn't to the cousin of the brother of the other fella. And he went over and said, don't say something like that to my second cousin twice removed, who's the mother of my sister whose aunt married your brother. And there was about to be an old fisticuffs when into the middle stepped David O'Leary, and he started dancing. Dancing, dancing with gay abandon, he danced hither and thither and up and down and round about. The Arsenal scout, you see, was so impressed with his light feet that he said, this fella must surely be able to play football. And he said, can you play football? And David O'Leary said, I know, I never tried, but I can dance. And the fella says, I saw that, so I did. So I brought him over to Arsenal in 1973, and he broke through to the first team by 1975. And the Arsenal fans used to love the way he tripped the light fantastic across the Highbury turf. He was an elegant defender, and a good defender, despite the fact he's got the funniest nose anybody's ever seen. In fact, thinking about his nose now is making me laugh. Oh, gee. Oh, yeah, he kind of spoiled things a bit, though. After being an Arsenal legend, he went on to be the manager of Leeds. And as we all know, Leeds are cunts. And he had a bit of an old run in now and again. And there was one time when Arsenal had to beat Leeds to win the league. And then some big Jimmy Floyd Hasselhoff went and scored for Leeds. And David O'Leary was jumping around going, hooray, a goal, a goal. And everybody didn't like him after that. Then he went to Aston Villa after Leeds went bankrupt because he liked too many fish in his office, or the chairman did, or something, I don't know. And he went to Aston Villa, and he was kind of shite. And now he's unemployed, but makes an occasional few quid as a League of Gentlemen lookalike. It's true.
And the man in the bar will be back on next week's Arsecast with yet another player history. Now then, it's time for our bet of the week, with thanks to BlueSquare.com, which is www.bluesq.com. If you don't have an account, you can open one up by clicking on the link on the side of the Arseblog homepage on the right-hand side there, and you get a £25 free bet when you open an account. So go to it, and when you make a couple of bets, Arseblog makes a couple of quid as well. So for all the entertainment, you limited as it is, that you get from this site, a couple of quid never hurts. So there you go. Now, not much else to talk about apart from to look ahead very briefly to the Fulham game on Sunday, where 1 point will guarantee Champions League football next season. Mathematically, it's still possible for the other teams to catch us. It seems unlikely that they will do that. Both teams, Everton and Bolton, 9 points behind us. Everton, the only ones with a realistic chance of getting near us. Our goal difference is better than theirs by 11. Although if we lost, for example, to Fulham 8-0, and Everton won against Manchester United at the weekend 12-0, we could be in a bit of trouble. You have to sort of prepare for every eventuality. But in terms of the team, I suppose we'll have more or less everybody fit, apart from Henri Van Persie and Walcott. I suppose Adebayor will start again. We might play the five in midfield. I don't know. But we're on a roll at the moment. The team is going places. Not quite sure where those places are. Could be Bridlington. Could be the Costa del Sol. Could be just round the corner for an ice cream. But nobody knows. But we are, as I said earlier, on a massive unbeaten run of 3 games. And they'll be looking not to lose that against Fulham, who will, of course, be fighting for their lives because they're very, very close to the relegation places. And they've got a new manager who wants to manage in the Premiership, even though he never has before. Laurie Sanchez, of course, was the manager of Wycombe Wanderers and Northern Ireland, two teams with more or less the same level of football. Sorry. But he'll be looking to get his team playing, and they are desperate, and totally desperate, and double desperate for points. So we'll have to watch ourselves. It won't be an easy ride. I suppose the other thing we should mention is that this is a landmark Arsecast, number 25. Who would have thought? 25. Wow. Fuck, it's not that much of a landmark, really, anyway, is it? No. Okay. Nothing else to talk about. All the takeover stuff, we haven't really heard anything new and stuff that hasn't been covered on the blog. So there's no point going over and over and over it. We're going to have loads and loads of time to do that over the summer, because if nothing happens transfer-wise, I've got nothing else to talk about. So I'll just pontificate for half an hour every week about how I don't want to be taken over or how I don't want Arsenal to be taken over. And I don't either, honestly. So there you go. Anyway, we'll talk to you on next week's Arscast. Have a good weekend. Talk to you all next week on the blog. Here's the 3 points on Sunday. Take it easy. Bye. Just want to apologize for that really, really terrible American accent at the start. Won't happen again. Sorry. Honestly, really, really sorry.